Welcome to the session about ontology for federation and integration of systems that is on Ontology Summit 2012, Ontology for Big Systems. And ontology for federation and integration of systems, this is definitely a facet of ontology for big systems. Personally, I am come from engineering systems that represent very huge and big systems and without a borders. Nobody knows what the contractors provide details, for example, for nuclear power station. This is so huge that nobody knows how big it is. But as I know, ontologists are more interested in reason, in reasoners and reasoning, but less interested in federation and integration because this is simple mapping. But this is very interesting topic, and I am and Corey Casanave are champions of this track, and this Ontology Summit track have one session. This is our session, and we will have four presentations here, and then questions and answer session. And this is a true international session. I am from Russia, Moscow, and Tommy Karhela from Finland, and we have United States here, and it seems to me this will be very interesting. Corey Casanave, tell several words about this topic in more detail.
Thank you, Anatoly. This is Corey Casanave with Model Driven Solutions. We provide architecture and implementation services and some open source tooling to federal and large corporate clients. And the federation integration problems are the problem of the decade from our perspective. It is whatever other problems our customers come to us with, it is almost always inclusive of these problems. So if you want to go to slide two on the introduction slide, the proposition here is that federation integration, and these have multiple terms and words, information sharing, interoperability, SOA shared services, etc., is really the essential systems problem of this decade. It's costing trillions of dollars. It costs lives in defense environments. And it's really the prerequisite to solving problems in the large, because problems in the large always involve federation integration terms of understanding. You speak with CIOs, and they almost always identify with this as a problem. Secondly, and this is perhaps a controversial statement, but maybe we'll get the juices flowing, I say it is a problem not solved. There are standards in this area. Anatoly has pointed to ISO 15926. It has in federation. There are other standards, of course, that many of us know and work with, OWL and UML, Common Logic, other first order logic dialects, the SOA disciplines. And having experienced a lot of these, our proposition is that none of them really seem to be directly solving the problem, and we really still have a pervasive problem. So that there seems to be something missing. And while experts can pull these together, we don't have something that's appropriate for mainstream adoption. If you want to go to slide three. And by federation in particular, we're dealing with independently conceived systems and data sources coming together. And this is crucial, different than what we'd say is the integration environment, where you typically have more control over the components you're bringing together. So the challenge is that these independently conceived systems, of course, are dealing with concepts and processes and information about the same things, and that that becomes essential when we share information across organizational boundaries or system boundaries. So slide four, please. One of the areas that we've been looking at specifically is information federation, and that really that this is crucial to collaborative processes. It's crucial for service-oriented architecture, where we don't have a common single service between our environments. And so from a industry point of view and from a user stakeholder point of view, we see these as essential problems to solve. If we look at slide five, this is a summary of what we might see as kind of the state of the art, which goes all the way from the point-to-point solutions that we see mostly, things like code or XSLT between specific structures, all the way down to conceptual and ontological modeling as we're dealing with today. I won't go into detail here, is that we do have some presentations on these. So going on to slide six, we'll introduce the speakers, and I believe that we would like to start with Tommy from VTT Technical Research Center. So I'd if you could introduce yourself and your topic, and we'll switch over to his slides, please.
Okay, thank you, Corey. So I'm Tommi Karhela from VTT, Finland. VTT, we are 2,700 researchers, and I'm leading a small team here called Computer Simulation Technology. My topic today is ontology-based integration platform for modeling and simulation called Semantics. So next slide, please. Okay, so we have been developing Semantics already over 5 years, and it is this kind of an integration solution for modeling and simulation, and it is based on a semantic graph data model, and it is open source, licensed under Eclipse Public License. Our main goals are that we are more interested in infrastructure than the actual solver technology. So we are aiming to develop reusable components for the modeling and simulation infrastructure. We are trying to support multidisciplinary, multi-level simulation and modeling, and also for the whole life cycle of a facility or a product. We are aiming to support distributed simulation, model configuration integration, solver integration, and also team features or teamwork features in this framework. So next slide, please. This is how we see the information management in the Semantics project, kind of like the vision for the future. So many of the companies are at the moment struggling in this generation 3, between this generation 3 and generation 4, so they are moving from document hotels to using these kind of a product model-based information management systems. And they are taking this step from level 3 to level 4. And we see that in the future, we will be also integrating these computational models into these semantic product models. And that would be kind of like the level 5 or generation 5 of this information management. So next slide, please. Okay, so here is a schematic figure of the semantics architecture. At the bottom, we have the semantics core, which is our triple store for the semantic graph. It is a database which is programmed here at BTT, so it's our own. Parallelly, we have this kind of a mechanism which we call semantics data port, which is meant for real-time transmission of data. So because in simulation environments, we also need real-time communication between simulators and also control systems, for example, and so on. So we have different mechanisms for that, and then this semantic presentation for the model configuration. Our user interface framework in the middle is based on Eclipse Bridge Client platform, and all the semantics user interface components are programmed as a RCP plugins. We have a SVG-based 2D diagram framework and also some 3D graphical support based on OpenCascade and BTK. In the solver front, we have started from the system simulators like APROS, ALAS, which are BTT's own simulators, and then we have also integrated some open source system simulation tools like OpenModelica, and also this model checking is based on an open source new SMB component. OpenFOAM is a open source CFD solver. So next slide, please. We are trying, with this semantics architecture, we are trying to integrate different simulators together, but we are also trying to integrate simulators and engineering CAD systems. So currently we have done some work with the Siemens Comos system and also with Intergraph Smart Plant systems. And our idea is that we bring the engineering information into our semantic database as it is. And then inside the semantic database, we are using rules, transformation rules, to convert this engineering information into simulation models. So we can auto-generate the simulation models from these CAD system information. So next slide, please. Here is an illustration of different semantics components. So at the bottom we have the triple store, this core, and we have an application programming interface for this triple store. Then we have this data port mechanism, which is for this real-time data management. And on top of this this core, we have these Eclipse-based plugin components, which are mostly user interface components. But we have also this semantics constraint language, which is used for these validations and transformations. Then on top of these Eclipse plugins, we have kind of like perspectives, which are a combination of these different plugins. We have perspectives for ontology development, project management, modeling and simulation, and also for the TMB features. And then we combine these perspectives and plugins into these different products that are in this platform. So next slide, please. So here I tried to list for this session, why are we using ontologies in semantics? And first of all, it is because of the flexibility of this semantic data model. We can actually describe very different data models of these different simulators using the same language. Other reason is this model validation. So using these constraints or rules, we can capture the knowledge of different modelers into the system, even when they are modeling. Kind of the experienced modelers can make their own rules to the system, and this way this simulation and modeling work, which is quite often very challenging and needs a lot of experience, so it can be made easier by using this kind of rules and model validations. Then we are using these semantic queries in these big models. We can make richer queries to the model database. Also for the model transformations, for example, from these engineering models to the simulation models, we can use this rule language and these constraints to do these transformations and keep those transformations also up to date inside the database. And then, of course, we can also use this semi-structured data model for model annotations. So next slide, please. So about the challenges related to these ontologies. So naturally, as we all know, the performance is quite often an issue when using this semantic approach. And we have very big models, this kind of a nuclear power plant, for example, which we are modeling at the moment in Finland using this semantics and APROS combination. It takes over 10 million triples to model this one simulation model. So those are very huge graphs that we are handling, and this performance is an issue for us, even though we have used a lot of effort for optimizing the system. Then these low-level APIs for the programming, they are quite complex, so we need quite skillful programmers, at least those who are working close to the core. Then ontology versioning has been also an issue for us, because we have to ensure that we can migrate these different models from earlier ontologies to the next one. So there has been some challenges with that one. So next slide, please. Actually, you have maybe an older set of the slides than I sent a newer one, where there was an example of the semantics graph format there. But maybe we can take that later during the questions, if somebody is more interested in the actual ontology language. This we call it layer zero. This is what we use. But anyway, I can go on with this set. So this maintenance of the semantics environment is arranged in the association called EHDH. So we have some 25 companies as members of this association, and we have user companies who are using these tools based on this semantics technology. And then we have some component and service providers who are providing simulators or plugins, user interface plugins, to the environment. And of course, we have a common interest for maintaining this system together. So next slide, please. And here is just some picture of the semantics development team. So here are some of the programmers who are working with semantics. So that was all. Thank you.
But Tommy, it's Peter Yim. So if you could send me the updated slides again, I could put that up onto the session for people.
Yes, I can do that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Tommy. And we're going to save, I think, specific questions until the end of the session and wrap them all together. Anatoly, would you like to go next?
I am very glad that I will be telling after Tommy Carhella. And I expect that I will be speaking after Dennis, but nevertheless, I will try to have a presentation. And I will speak mainly about ontology-based systems federation and not integration specifically. Please, second slide. Terminology. System federation, consider this like a bus architecture. This is a kind of network with interoperability. When you are not knowing exactly what members of federation you will have in the future, and they come in and come out. And system integration, there is some kind of plugins architecture. When you know architecture of all the system and can plan at least plugin structure. And system federation, this is a special definition of architecture, of federation architecture, because like in ISO 42010, this is organization, but no structure. System integration, usually it has structure, at least plugin structure, planet. And then we see in all the standards a big mess. For example, ISO 15926, this is lifecycle data integration standard. But this standard is about federation, but never use this word because this is another language community. And next slide, please. Third. And from systems engineering point of view, we have interoperability of autonomous cyborgs because we have in system engineering an example. If we have a pure hardware car, you can calculate how it moves according to physics law. And when we add computer to this car, this is not a car, this is computer. And it will be moving how computer tell to this car and not according strictly to physics law. And when you add people, this will be human behavior, not as pure computer or pure hardware. And we consider this car with people like have a goal, for example, come from one city to another city. And when we have to interoperability of the systems, this is interoperability multi-level, in hardware level, software level, and people level. And many people tend to have focus on one level, but not many. And for example, the famous IT gap between business and software. This is gap between software, federation, and integration, and people, federation and integration. And in this multi-level interoperability, we have data, execution flow, energy, mass, exchanges, but not exchanges only point to point, but in federation, we should have exchanges every one system with every other. The next, please. And when we have such a cyborg, cybernetic organism, we have laughing because cyborgs, this is only in cinematograph. But contemporary information systems represent this corporate cyborg world, and better we will count this. And this slide is about two enterprise systems, like product lifecycle management and computer-aided design, manufacturing, computer-aided engineering systems. And there are a bunch of such systems that need to federate in one engineering company. And usually this is system from different vendors. And usually we have too much models, and we have multi-model interoperability. This is not simply multi-level, but we have interoperability in information systems when we have at least three sort of models in every such a system. And in my consultant's practice, I have difficulties with people that can't believe that all these systems modeled in their systems. First, this is a system or service of interest. This is about structure and behavior. And first, in service-oriented approach, every system regards as a service that it give to the environment. And in ISO 15288, we have a definition that if you have a service, you have a system. And engineers not provide simply service. They provide system that service environment. And they develop a system that provided them service. And then we have structure and behavior models. And we have structure models everywhere, and rare see behavior model. And Tommy Carhella is very interested with semantics because he provide with his team behavior modeling to the system of interest. This is very big system and very big behavior modeling because nuclear power station, this is a huge model, and there are many types of these models. And structure modeling usually provided by PLM systems. Structure of 3D, 2D, P&ID diagrams, and many, many, many other structure models is in PLM system usually, not even in computer-aided design system. They already somehow integrated. And then we have system services in operation environment. This is systems that we should model to, and this is all in our repository. This is data in our big system repository. And one more system. This is enabling system or enterprise. Now, this is usually completely another branch because enabling systems not regarded as something that we should model in the same environment, in the same information system, that system of interest. But we have actions because we have agents. For example, IAM should develop something from system interest structure or system interest behavior. And I have a phrase that IAM as an agent should to do something, and this is enterprise model directly, and then with something, this model of system interest. And in PLM system, we see that both models of enterprise and system of interest reside in the same repository. But I wonder, when I speak with people from CAD, CAM, PLM market, they never understand. They tell, we have no enterprise model. We have some kind of issue tracker or workflow engine or any other engine. But when we take IT people, they tell, sure, we should add a specific process engine or project engine or adaptive case manager, management engine. No, this will not be working because we need links and relations to the system of interest, structure and behavior object, and system services in operation environment. And this is very important to have united models of these three kinds of systems. And this will be interoperability. And this is very complex thing because we should have not only data integration, but also execution flow integration, because different engineers, different people in different organizational roles have an execution flow with this system of interest object as an argument or as an object in their actions. And this is very complex, and I am happy that Denis Wisnowski will tell us about BPMN2 ontology, and maybe he has several words about this. I am excited because this is for the first time in my life I see people that simultaneously present behavior modeling, structure modeling. I will tell several words about it. And enterprise modeling, enabling system modeling. Next slide, please. And this is fifth slide. And there is a conception of modeling, of programming in the lab. And I have several thesis here, several points, several bullets. First, ontologizing and modeling and programming, this is the same thing. And up to now, this is three different community with modeling and programming and ontologizing and modeling have convergence, but very slow convergence. For example, metamodels and ontologies is very close now. And models and model transformations and programming is very close now. But ontologizing and programming is not very close. And this is completely different disciplines. I think that this is the same kind of activity that stems from philosophy logic. This is formal semantics and formal pragmatics, but in relation to real world. We all have models or ontology or program that have model and ontology that deal with real world. And this is very important to understand that we should cross-pollinate from these different fields. Now this is different field, but it seems to me this gap is closing quickly enough. Ontologizing in the small and ontologizing in the large, there are no such terms, but we have no such terms in modeling in the small and modeling in the large. Only programming in the small versus programming in the large. Because programming in the small, this is programming of one programmer to one computer and full control of all the environment. But this is not the case because now in internet we have network programming. When one program has execution on different node of a big, big network, and nobody knows what nodes and what the program will be executed in your computer. For example, weather and banner and HTML and JPEG come from different nodes and not knowing about one another, and this is all collected in the window of your browser. And this is programming in the LUT, and such a programs have another architecture, another languages, for example, PHP, and web programming. This is differ from programming in the small substantially, and we are teaching in the colleges now programming in the small, but not programming in the LUT. For example, configuration management in programming in the LUT, this is very difficult because even application, we have configuration management builds like programming in the small. And systems integration and federation, this is ontologizing, modeling, and programming in the LUT. And this is completely another discipline that we use in, for example, one application that provide some kind of ontology and modeling and programming. This is simultaneously work of different layers of application that not knowing one about another and should interoperate somehow to take a goal of different people in environment, because this is all about cyborgs. This is simply tooling of social cyborg. And urgent needs, this is neutral ontology for, or at least terminology, not ontology, at least terminology to speak about this ontologizing, modeling, and programming in the LUT. And we need cross-pollinate this developing of approaches or methods in the LUT. For example, we should have programming in the LUT, methods and guesses and patterns, and try to go to ontologizing in the LUT. And the same thing with modeling. And maybe some kind of ontology guesses and understanding to go to programming. Because, for example, today Alan Kay discussing in his funk list semantic-oriented programming. And I think no one ontologist know about this. And next slide, please. System of services. And in our ontology forum, it was in, ontology summit, in a list of ontology summit, it was a big discussion about what is a system. And a few ontologies have a system right out of the box in upper level. And there is philosophical guess, for example, several of Russian philosophers speak about this, but notion of system, this is very up in ontology hierarchy. This is one of the basic notion about a world. And this is very contemporary because all other ontologies is, stem from some kind of theology. And this is one of a few ontologies that can at least pretend to be a general ontology, not theology-based. And we still have no system ontology. How we can have ontology-federated systems if we have no concept of a system and functional object and physical object and service behavior versus function versus process, for example, cyber physics, life cycle of a system. And in system federation integration, nobody knows what to federate, integrate, and how to describe it. And we can invent many languages for system federation, but if we have no concept of system, we not describe this federation. And we need urgent need, ontology for system domain. With all these types of system, for example, I mentioned systems engineering type of system. This is enabling system or enterprise that progress system through life cycle and system of interest, system in operation environment, and stakeholders, and many, many other things. We need ontology for this to describe architecture. And we need architectural language for systems domain. And this is not CSML. CSML, this is not architectural language for systems domain because he has no ontology mention of systems. And think of ontology-enhanced Archimate for not only enable systems, because Archimate, this have no notion of systems, but notion of service and integration in service domain, and only enterprises as a subject, but not general systems. Next slide, please. But there is very interesting that we should go beyond upper systems ontology. And we should have product lifecycle models, a bunch of these. And ISO 15926 is a champion that tried in very different domains like geometry, and they did diagrams, electrical, and many, many, many other engineering specialties. We have simulation, multi-physics models, and semantic is a champion now, because this is another ontology, another architecture, but very similar to ISO 15926, but not very similar because simulation have with all this time rows and historic data has a big specific. And up to now, we have discussions with representatives of ISO 15926 and semantics, and all of them agree that it should be harmonized somehow, but nobody knows when and how. And the next thing, enterprise models. This is BORA, methodology of Chris Partit, Archimate, adaptive case management, thinking about the nature of all this process and products and issue management, thinking about process ontology and general process ontology, not a specific process that can be expressed in BPMN. Because we are working every time not knowing what will be next step. And no BPMN can show it before work. And we now need some kind of dynamic in our process. And situational method engineering, a few people know about ISO 24744 standard, for example. Sbiver, this was specific enterprise ontology, but not too much work around this Sbiver ontology up to now. And all this is different ontologies that we need simultaneously to have this federation of corporate cyborg. And I not mention all natural language domain because all regulation standards, past project reports should be federated too, and then defined most of these ontologies, especially product lifecycle models. This is in engineering regulations and EC directives and many laws that directly define concept of product models. And we have nothing in this field up to now. But not nothing, but almost not nothing. Urgent needs. Give me all of them to System Federation. And the main problem, this is absence of reference data, domain ontology. And most we have many domain ontologies, all the different ontologies, but when I specifically need this reference data, I cannot touch this. They are in legacy systems, in legacy format, or non-structured, and I have no domain ontologies. I have several upper ontologies, maybe a few middle ontologies, but not rich domain ontologies, and nobody knows how to get it in mass. I think it will be some kind of linguistic processing, but up to now we have this as a problem. Configuration management federation style, and from experience of ISO 15926, in real data, you need systems engineering. When you have systems engineer, you have bureaucrats of engineer. They call themselves as bureaucrats because they start with configuration management, with accounting. And nobody knows how to manage, evolve, maintain, federated mega ontology, mega model, mega program. Mega model, this is a term suggested by INRIA Atlan Mod when they discover that there are many, many, not even knowing how many, meta-models, layered meta-models, models, transformed models, code that stem from these models, bimodal transformation, they suggest all these call mega-model. And when we speak about engineering system that, for example, have drawings reside in 10 different, maybe 10 hundreds of enterprises for nuclear power station, and this is mega model, mega information system, mega model with mega programs and sure mega ontology. And the next thing, this is execution federation style. And I hope that Denis Wisnowski tell something. What to do when you have multiple BPMN engines, but not only BPMN engines, adaptive case management systems that have completely another ontology and completely dynamic, several different SOA frameworks, issue trackers and document management systems, project management, and other project process issue case related engines in very good quantity in every enterprise, but you have it not in enterprise scale. You have it in ecosystem scale. For example, nuclear power station, they have turbine, and this is not even nuclear industry. And they have electricity network, and this is not nuclear industry, not turbine vendors, and this is power networks industry. And all this and all these people need to join in execution of their contracts. And our federated system should support this joint execution. And up to now, we have no decision to this and have no ontology. And the next thing, federation education. And our small firm, from time to time, have for our clients teachings of all this ontology, semantic-based federation, and other complex things courses. And we have a bad experience because all the clients expect that they have 3 days, and after this their people will be perform ontology engineering and big system federation, and these 3 days will be enough for them. But we can think about it from two sides. First, this is impossible. This is completely impossible. Multiple years you should have an experience to provide this. And we think another way. We think that it should be some kind of didactic aids and easy to learn tools. And this is the way. We need Federation education on steroids. And we try to think in this direction, but this is another talk, it seems to me. And case study, this is System Federation with ISO 15926. I will not be speaking details about this, because this should be another talk specific to this 15926. Moreover, as I understand, there was several presentation to this community, Ontology Summit community, to Ontology Forum community of ISO 15926. But it seems to me this was 2 or 3 years ago, but now this is blossoming. And this is a very specific goal about ecosystem federation beyond enterprise and industry boundary. This is not master data management. This is not service-oriented architecture of one enterprise or some kind of enterprise service bus. This is specifically to industry-wide federation. And this is reference federation architecture. And this is prescribed current intuitive ontological commitments. For example, this is 4D ontology with extensionalism. And this is very specific ontology. This is very counterintuitive ontology. And this is not like folk ontology. This is very specific engineering ontology. And there are several prescribed data modeling languages. Low-level semantic network like RDF, mid-level templates that is very good suit for engineering tables and even Excel. And high-level OIMS. This is a platform for domain-specific languages that ontology-based. And this is federated domain vocabulary taxonomy ontology to tools that you trusted. And this is 10 slides. Yeah. And I have specifically stressed that this is usage of federated ontology for systems federation. This is federation in square. And it has a weak point too. Up to me, it has a not a good choice, in my humble opinion, semantic web file format for data representation to federation purposes. This is not fit good, but this is so. This is a very huge standard, and this is elephant. This is usual metaphor for ISO 15926. 11th slide. And you see this 11th slide, this is usual thing, product knowledge pyramid. And this is common knowledge in reference data library or ontology up to the top. And myriads of multiple formats and legacy systems of every kind with product data. And enterprise-related data excluded only to clarity of a slide, because we have all these models, like in semantics and in Dennis' presentation will be with BPMN. But it is excluded. This is a pure product model, and this is huge. And next slide, please. And this is ISO 15926. This is the same pyramid, but you see a specific standard body at every slice of it. And for example, we have even catalog vendors, they have not a knowledge, but not a product data, because this is catalog. This is very specific ontological things, because this is knowledge about component of product, but this is component like a classes for all the market. And they can be used like common knowledge. And this is a very specific thing, but you see the references from product reference data library, product-specific ontology, enterprise domain, enterprise-wide domain-specific ontology that defines this product data, links to all these global ontologies. And you have, for sure, fast track. If you have something good, you can promote it to industry standards RDL, national standards RDL, or global RDL, or JORD, Joint Operated Reference Data. And this global RDL have a status, this ontology, already now have a status of ISO standard, because you have a usual standardization process, the same as to paper standards, the same process for ontology. And this is very specific. And next slide, please. And this is a central slide, because this is about how it proceeds. You have not mapping point to point, but you have two mappings to this standard ontology. Yes, this is counterintuitive ontology that federate in many, many warehouses. You have mapping of your product data in two different systems to this ontology, but not one to another. And this is example. In the second system, you have Russian word that means circle. And you have no mapping from circle to this окружность, but you have mapping circle, for example, from one system to radius of this neutral ontology, ISO 15926. And the very similar circle from Russia to ISO 15926 diameter. And it will not be conflict, as it can be when you have direct mapping. And this is very specific, and this is system engineering approach. This is not profit in this system. This is not speed up anything, but this is prevent from errors. And this is very good in very big project. System engineering have no project. This is system engineering is not about profit. This is system engineering is about not have a huge loss and rework. Systems engineering is against rework in huge project. Next slide, please. And this is knowledge warehouses view, and you see that we have PostCSER Association and Fiatech, JORD, Global Reference Data Library, and reference data library in every enterprise, not mention all this national level and other level of reference library. And you see this federation of ontology and multiple federated system even in enterprise. And you have several systems that served by this ISO 15926 in federating in enterprise level, and this is federating. You see this very huge systems that you should federate, for example, PLM and ERP system, and inter-enterprise and extra enterprise federation. And this is very strong point. The next slide, please. And this is joint experience. It was invited Jan Glendinning, that is the chief of this JORT. But all the community of ISO 15926 now in Houston have their own seminar. And this is more specific talk, and this is experience of dozens of people that work now with ISO 15926. First, namespaces headache, because we have moving of concept between RDL. For example, promotion to high level RDL. But we have moving URI, because this is physically moving from one repository to another repository, and you should have some kind of of registry for this URI and some headache with namespaces. And there is discussion how to best solve this problem. But this is very familiar to many other projects. All RDF as a transport language, not enough. And many discussions about it, and this is my word. This is not enough. For example, we should have reification of of specialization and classification relations, but not other relations, but this one, basic relations too. This is not impossible in current variant of all. And granularity, domain units and configuration units. Domain units, this is subject, this is discipline, this is units in heads of people. But we should have another type of granularity, configuration units. And nobody knows how to have it now. There are many theories, but too few practice to perform it in a very large scale. Multiple languages. We have network, templates, OIMs, and many other. How to fit it one to another in one project and one software. We have federation administration issue. This is systems of systems. Centralized development impossible, only asynchronous systems evolution. If you have architect, he cannot prescribe in systems of systems, system of systems. It can be only advised, because you have different budget, different time scale, different architects. And we have multiple partial compatible implementations. They compatible, but partial, like browser wars in start of internet, in start of World Wide Web, and the same thing. And many, many, many other bad things, but up to now, this is one of the very interesting attempts to federate data in a very big scale. Thank you.
Thank you, Anatoly. There are some interesting discussions on the chat session as you were going there, so I think perhaps people can formulate some questions and comments that we can get to in the discussion time frame. Mr. Wisnowski, are you ready for us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Why don't we turn it over to you then? Mr. Wisnowski is with the U.S. Department of Defense and has been leading a semantic project. Many of you may have seen him in prior Ontolog sessions and some of the videos that he did showing us what they're doing. So with that, Dennis, please proceed.
Okay, thank you very much. The project that we have on that we began with for the Semantic Web is called the Enterprise Information Web, EIW, and I'd like at some time to be able to do a live demonstration of the actual software that we built and some of the things that we and the things that we learned by building that software, which is the system is going to go live with live data on March 30th. Unlike many DoD programs, this has had deliverables every 90 days. So when I say March 30th, I can actually be certain because we've not missed a single end of a quarter. So based upon the success of that EIW project, we've had another project called Virtual Input Processing System that actually goes from requirements definition to building an architecture based upon OMG's BPMN, and then to converting that architecture to an RDF triple store, then executing it. So we'll show you those two real projects sometime in the future, but what I'm doing today is to show you where that success is taking us. So the first slide should say BEA, Ontology Development. BEA is the Business Enterprise Architecture for the department's business mission area, which the amount of money that we spend on business systems is nominally $7 billion a year. That's how much is on the books. Of course, that's only in money that we can expose. There's likely more that we don't talk about or count the internal payroll, things of that nature. That's how much we spend on the outside. So our mandate from Congress is every year is to report on what we're doing with this business enterprise architecture and how it's going to be used to guide and constrain these investments, these IT investments in the Department of Defense. So on my next slide, slide labeled number one, is what we call the bluff, the bottom line up front. So call your attention to the lower left corner of this slide where it says enterprise architectures. The BEA, the Business Enterprise Architecture, is the North Star for all of the architectures within the business mission area of the department. So you look at that slide, the thing that I just talked about with BPMN, we build all of our business process models using the OMG Analytical Conformance Class 2.0 so that they all look the same. We build the data under these business process models using RDF triple stores so that the data can all look the same. It can be linked data. Then the next part of this in the picture, you can see the orange, a mapping ontology. We're talking about federation of these architectures since we are responsible in the Office of Secretary of Defense only for the upper ontology, the BEA, and the other ontologies, as you can read the blueprint there, are owned by other parts of the department, but for them to federate with no more work, to link with no more work, we need to all be following the same standards, which is the job of the Deputy Chief Management Officer. That's who I report to. So the next architecture you see there is the Information Enterprise Architecture. That's the infrastructure run by Defense Information Systems Agency. There are other domain architectures. The one above that in the picture is HRM, Human Resource Management. The one above that is Electronic Health Record. So these architectures will federate to the BEA, become part of the BEA as reference architectures for guided constraining investments over time. So we're going down this process right now. So that's what our job is within the department. However, the real savings, the real money can be saved or money made, if you would, is when these architectures are truly used to inform solution architectures. That's where the money is spent to deliver capabilities to our warfighters. So on the right side of this chart, it says implemented by. Those are solution architectures. They, again, will use the same standards as the enterprise architectures. So in that picture, you see integrated electronic health records. That's a very big project, a real project that the Department of Defense is doing with Department of Veteran Affairs. The one above that is integrated personnel and pay. There will be four of these systems, one for Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and the systems that are being built, they'll actually be SOA services orchestrated, they will be built according to the same architecture principles, and most likely, since the architectures on the left are the domain architectures, we'll be able to orchestrate services by selecting from the processes from the enterprise architectures and simply pointing at them in real time. The one above that is BIPS. I mentioned that. So these the little symbols there, which you guys all recognize, the RDF tuple stores, they, as they're implemented, inform now the back to the domain architectures. So we go from the top down on the left side and from the bottom up on the right side back into the BEA. And all of this is our approach to federation through semantic architectures. Then the next question is, okay, how? The next chart two, is, and I'm going to lead you through some word slides. I think there's only one more picture here that shows us how we're making this trip. There was a document issued by the Deputy Undersecretary, the Deputy Chief Management Officer, last April of 2011, and in this document she said, you will build these business process models using the standards, and you will build the data using the standards. So RDF Tuple Stores, OWL, Sparkle, all of that is in this memo. So our challenge then is to take the BEA, to make an ontology to represent the BEA, to use the DM2, the Data Model 2, that is part of our DODAF, our DoD Architecture Framework, that says what data the department must be able to display prior to spending money on systems, and the BPMN 2.0, which is the way that we build these end-to-end business process models. So we are building an ontology for the BEA, an ontology for the DM2, and an ontology for the BPMN2. And I'm going to show you in this talk how we're doing that. We have 9 versions of the BEA so far, so a large part of this is to convert from our as-is way of doing business to the new way. So bullet 2, we need to migrate the existing BEA data to an RDF store, reflects the new integrated ontology. And the integrated ontology means the DODAF products that are described by the metadata that's in the DM2. And then, of course, test this RDF store with queries. We're using top-grade composer desktop. We're using Protégé. And so we are querying from the perspective of the architecture itself, the business process model that's within the architecture. We call them OB6C and the DM2. So the next chart 3, shows the notional BEA ontologies, this little Venn diagram that shows how they interact. So I've talked about the BEA core, business enterprise architecture core, how that overlaps for the business process point of view with the BPMN version 2.0, how that overlaps with the DM2, because the BEA does not have all of the products that are in the, all the views that are in the DODAF. Then there are 2 other things that are really important for the domains in this picture. One is a hire to retire ontology. That's an end-to-end business process that would be managed by the personnel and readiness people, that domain. And the other one is procure to pay. That's an end-to-end business process model that is managed by the acquisition people and the finance people together. So by having all of these ontologies linked together by these standards, we'll be able to go through the BEA to actually execute our business intelligence queries pointing to authoritative data sources. Slide 4 shows our approach. I have to say that this is very much a work in progress. We're learning as we go along. Any comments anyone would like to make along that line that could affirm or say, hey, you're missing something, or how about this? I'd certainly be willing to listen to. So what we've done so far, and this has been work in the last 6 months since October 1st, so not quite 6 months, 5 months, we've created this BPMN2 ontology. Now, this is for our delimited BMN 2.0, because BMN 2.0 is a giant document with many interpretations. We've made this conform to our primitives. Those are the subset of the symbols within BPMN and how those symbols are working together. So it closely resembles specifications, but it's not exactly. We have used, we have the tools in here that we're currently using, not that that's the end, but we've tested this ontology with a product called Signavio, and we are planning on adding additional tools to be able to do things like XML code generation and so forth. We created the DM2 ontology. We do that in connection with the DoD CIO. They really own the DM2, but there wasn't an ontology for the DM2, so we've created that. And transformed the BA, the non-BPMN data, which BPMN is only one of the products within the DoDAP, one of the views. So we've gone to other views that those of you who aren't DoD people might not care much about these views, but they are the important things like the operational systems, the operational activities connected together, the OB2, the OB5A, list of all of our business processes and so forth. So we've created other ontologies within, rather an ontology within VA ontology for these other products. And then, as you can see in the fourth bullet there, transformed these related data into other kinds of data using commercial products, Spin and Sparkle Motion. So we've created the BPM ontology mappings between these ontologies because they have to, of course, all overlap. They have to all be logically linkable, not all the same, but there can't be something in one ontology that negates something in another, as you all know. So next slide, page 5, the standards that we're using as we evolve, and you can, I won't go over them, you know what they all are, but we have in here what we have and why we have them. AL2 over AL1, AL DL. Now, this isn't for everything we do, but for what I'm describing here, these are the standards that we've chosen. Sparkle 1.1, because there's new features that we need to have, like aggregate. And that's how we're going to be able to do one of the federation aspects of these models. So slide 6, we are in the process of beginning to show how we're going to implement the semantic-based BEA, and we are releasing our last traditional BEA on March 15th. We have to do that every year to the U.S. Congress. So between this March 15th and the middle of summer, we will be having more refined instructions for how our constituents in the rest of the department are going to be following this direction. So I'm on page 8, slide 8, which shows, I'm sorry, slide 6, which shows our implementation overview, what we've done with respect to migrating the existing BEA data to RDF store and the tools that we use. eTools is a set of Java applets that we've developed ourselves to be able to do contrast and compare within these products, for example. We are in the position where we can now query the BEA ontology with Sparkle, and based on some number of use cases which we're testing its fitness or purpose. So slide 7. Tools we currently use. This is a partial list, the top rate composer and Protege, other top quadrant tools, some e-tools with custom build, very small things that there was a hole in the market that we couldn't get, Jenna and Eclipse. So we are very much open source and open software where we can do that. And where we can't, we supplant it with some commercial tools. Example of this process is on slide 8. This is a Sparkle Motion example. And all that this slide shows is that we have many, many moving parts here of data, of ontologies that are going to be natively described and ontologies that are not. So we need to convert to having the RDF triple stores that are consumable by queries such that are always Sparkle based, for example. We have the DM2 ontology, BMN2 ontology on page or slide 9, and we're doing all this mapping. Particularly of concern to us right now is mapping 10 years of legacy data to the integrated ontologies that are going to be a combination of all of them. We still have some things to do. The DM2 on page 10 is the belongs to the CIO, and why I had to make my talk after the second talk was that we had the CIO in here and we were just talking about this DM2 approach. We have to test a case, we have to test use cases with the DM2. We can't break the DM2, but it has to serve our purpose. Same way with BPMN and the mapping between BPMN and DM2. This is the kind of work that is literally never done. We need to get it to the point where we are confident that it serves our immediate purposes. So the last slide, or the last bullet here, points in that direction. We'll have a BPMN RDF, a non-BPM RDF. BPMN is only an OB6C, a business process model within our BEA. So next steps on slide 11, use cases, flesh out the ontologies, flesh out the mapping, generate a full RDF, and then release our approach to the people who are building the domain ontologies so we can actually show them how to do it, not just tell them to do it. The last slide is example class mappings just for your amusement. It's hard to read on even my big screen. And then that's the end, slide 13. As I said, I'd like to be able to show you a demonstration of some real results from executing these architectures, not simply being able to describe them sometime in the future, perhaps at your April meeting that's live at NIST. But Corey, that's all.
Thank you, Dennis. That would be great to see a demo, and I think if people stay on the subscribe to the mailing list, we can announce any such demo, which either could be done live or maybe on a webinar. With that, unless there's, again, no specific questions on that, we'll jump over to my own presentation. On semantic information modeling for Federation, which describes both an approach, which I'll go through briefly, as well as some standards efforts that we're going to that we are currently going on to try and make standards for that approach, and I'll try and give you some reasons for that. For that effort. Slide 2, please. So just introduce myself, Corey Kasnaev. I'm CEO of Model Driven Solutions. It's kind of the day job of we do architectures and agile solutions, mostly for large organizations, including government. Also very involved in standards, BCT, and some government standards. And in particular, the Federation theme over the last few years has been something that's been become particularly important to us and our customers. So slide 3, please. Now, what I'm going to describe, I'm calling pivoting through a conceptual model. And first, I want to make it clear that I'm not suggesting that this is a new idea or my idea. And almost the opposite. What I'm suggesting is that this is, in fact, almost best practice and common practice, that we need to find ways to support it in better ways. By pivoting through a conceptual model, one of the key pieces of that, of course, is the conceptual model. And by that, talking about a what I call a true ontology, essentially. It's something that models the domain itself. It is not modeling the information. It is not modeling the data. It is not modeling the system, but actually capturing the concepts of the domain. And if we think of this from a stakeholder point of view, a business stakeholder point of view, it's their concepts, their terms, the things they think about. Central idea then is that we use this model of the domain itself as the pivot point to the various representations that we find in the standards that we typically deal with for data, certainly, you know, things like XML and SQL. But even some of the approaches to using Semantic Web and RDF are actually, in fact, more information models than they are domain models. This basic approach has been with us for quite a while, and I would suggest that the most common tool isn't any ontology or any modeling tool, but it is actually probably Microsoft Excel at this point. How many times do we see vocabularies and common concepts captured in very informal ways in spreadsheets and grids and this type of thing? And although certainly things like UML and L and other more formal approaches are used as well. So if we go to slide four, please, I want to kind of hammer home this idea of the conceptual model and the difference between this conceptual model, what I'm calling a logical model of the information. So the conceptual model, in this case, in this example, I'm using myself, actually, even though you can't see me, I at least looked like that a few years ago, and that there is certainly an actual me. You may suspect that it's an actual person talking, and an actual concept of me that is, in fact, shared among people on this conference call. There may be some shared facts about me that I weigh a little bit more than I should. And that there then, of course, is different representations of me and facts about me in various paradigms, in UML and Excel and XML and even in RDF. And that if we want these different representations about the same thing to be connected, we can connect them best through this conceptual model. But that also implies that we need a model of the information also. So we need essentially an ontology of the domain as well as ontologies of the information in order to connect the dots. Those red lines are what's really important. And we have very few mechanisms for that, those red lines. So on slide five, please. If we're going to have this as a mainstream approach, something that people use to solve their problems daily, In large organizations, certainly Mr. Wisnowski, I think, is probably from the largest organization on earth. So it has to be easy to understand. It has to be tooled. It has to be standardized. I was looking at some of the notes on the chat log about understanding the fundamentals. Depending on how deep those fundamentals are, it may not be practical in the mainstream. In other words, this has to be something that we can have a logical foundation, but we can't require extreme sophistication on part of the tens of thousands of people or hundreds of thousands of people that we might expect to use them. But we think that both the conceptual and logical models can be represented by ontologies. And that when we do that, we actually don't need deep semantics, but we do need certain semantics very well defined. We have to get rid of the idea of the same representations or even consistent representations. We have to get rid of the idea that there is one single theory, one single vocabulary or model that's going to bind them all and send find ways to federate those. In some cases, we may be able to do this in a totally automated way. One of the things I thought was interesting for Mr. Bugajski, who is at VP of data at Visa International, was that I think his quote specifically was that a 10% improvement in our ability to federate could make a 1% difference in the gross national product. We don't need a 100% solution. We need to make this substantially better. Slide seven, please. So with this basic approach, what I wanted to talk about a little bit is the RFP effort. We've been instrumental in this because essentially we feel that there are pieces missing for this solution. that, oh, yes, I'm sorry, slide 6 is right. If you go back to slide 6, please. So, today, you know, we have tried conceptual, logical, and object modeling in UML, in AL, RDF, various mechanisms, SPVR. And our experience is that with care, with by applying specific patterns and methodologies, you can make a lot of these things work, but they don't seem adapted to the task. It almost seems like we're using an off-label drug to try and cure a common problem. So what we're looking for is to build on the things that we have that are going to work and that work, but put together a package that is built for purpose and built for this mainstream adoption solving this problem. So why don't we skip to slide 8. So the approach that's being proposed in the RFP and the one that we're essentially working to improve is based on having a what we're calling a conceptual domain model, CDM, which is a model of, as we were discussing, a model of the domain, logical information models, which are models of the information. And then those can then be mapped to the various physical schemas. And, you know, by example, in a conceptual domain model, we may say that a person at any one time, you know, has exactly one weight. But in an information model, we may decide that we want to record multiple weights because they were weighed by different people, or we're averaging them together or something like that. So the relations and cardinalities between the conceptual domain and the information domain really can be different. But a crucial aspect is the red arrows there, is being able to form the bridging relations at both the conceptual and logical layer and between the conceptual and logical layer to achieve the pivoting through the conceptual model and the ultimate federation. Slide 9, please. So on slide 9, you'll see basic parts that we're looking for in this specification. In the conceptual model itself, the conceptual model of domain concepts. By the way, I'm not getting updates. There we go. Conceptual model itself of the conceptual domain, essentially the meta model for conceptual domain modeling, for logical modeling, for bridging relations. An important piece of that is logically grounded in an ontology, in a formal method. So this is showing that we're not saying that we're going to describe a new logic, but we're going to use existing logics to describe this language for mainstream adoption. Now, what that formal logic is, whether it's AL or common logic or institutions, is up for grabs. That's up to the proposers to say. Then we want that bridge. We want to use the bridging capability to bridge that to a data representation of those using the OMG technologies, using the meta model technologies, which are going to essentially can express the data behind those conceptual models as well as notations for them. So this is where we get into specific notations. You know, the kind of thing we have in UML tools, it may be similar to UML, it may not graphically, but a tooled environment that can be have standards and interchange standards that are geared for adoption. And slide 10, one of the things that we don't want to do with this is say that this capability stands on its own, that the information you have must be thrown away. The existing models, the existing conceptual models and logical models that people have to be able to brought into this foundation directly and bridged. So if we're able to actually do semantic bridges between information, we must be able to do semantic bridges between these information representations. So we're asking for that as part of the standard so that we can federate the SIMS conceptual model with OWL, with SQL, with UML, with ER, so that we can bring these together, and so that you can have an enterprise model that is itself federated across these multiple languages and across the multiple viewpoints. Slide 11, please. So in summary, what we're looking for there is this conceptual model expressed in itself for conceptual domain modeling, logical modeling, and bridging, grounded in formal logic, with textual and graphical notations, and these bridges to the common information modeling languages, with a meta model in the OMG raw format and optionally in RDF. Now, on slide 12, one of the questions that I typically get at about this time is someone jumping up and saying, what about X, where X is whatever their favorite solution is, whether it's and the answer to that is that we expect this to be built on some existing foundations. So if the proposition is that OWL with rules or spin or common logic or institution theories or the ISO 15926 solves these problems, submit it and make it part of the solution and show how that, combined with whatever other pieces we need, actually provides the user solutions. So on slide 13, my last slide, just the status of this. This is an issued RFP by the OMG. It is open for submissions now. Initial submissions are due in September, although the interested parties to actually submit have to register by mid-March, and that there's groups forming to do this. The approach that we're talking about here is essentially what we have done internally. As I said, we've done it with multiple languages, primarily UML and L, but feel that we really need more and something tuned to the status. And also, I'd say the focus on information, a lot of people will say, well, what about process, et cetera, is simply to scope the initial RFP initially. We certainly see that this capability of federation should encompass these others viewpoints, but that's not what we're doing as the first step. So we provide a URL for the RFP, and we very much encourage the participants on Ontolog in this forum to consider contributing to it, perhaps even submitting to this RFP, because I think there is some great expertise growing, and we would really like to see this as a mainstream solution. That is the end of my presentation, and at this point, I think we are open to questions and comments. I think the best process here, if you could raise your hand on the chat board, and we'll recognize you, and also if you want to preview your question by typing it into the text window, that would help as well.
Cody, I don't have access to chat. Ravi here.
Yes, Ravi.
So at any point, I have a couple of questions. One is on your presentation itself.
Go ahead.
I am looking at two black boxes called bridges, and also you made a statement that you are using ontology. Where are you using in this concept the ontology?
Is it
in standards, in bridges, or all of these and domains?
All of these. So the way I look at it is that we want essentially a meta ontology for the concept level and the information level and at the bridging level.
So suppose I had UML and other meta models that conformed to some standards ontology, you would find a bridging meta ontology?
Well, between, let's say if you're given the SIFT conceptual model as an ontology itself, and UML represented as an ontology, then we can define, and this is manual, this is not something we can do automatically, but we can define and bridging relations between those. Now, one thing that we found is that a single bridging relation is not sufficient because there's too much variation in the way these languages are used.
Mm-hmm.
So you also want to be able to, you want to have some basic federation capability built in, but you also want to be able to specialize that federation capability, the bridging relations for specific architectural styles.
And one example of that would be in the ODM, like a profile of UML for ODM.
Yes, exactly.
Good. Thank you. One question for the gentleman from DOD, Dennis Wisnowski, if I may ask that now, and I'll shut up after that.
Yes.
There's no other hands raised, so you have the floor.
Oh, very good. Thank you. So the question is that there were several layers of activities that went between BPMN2, DM2, and BEA versions. So what is the model or the concept that integrates what appears to me to be not so well jointed activities? Obviously, you have that in your mind. So could you kindly address to that?
I said that this is a work in progress, and
yes,
we don't have it clear how this is going to work, whether we merge these three ontologies, and that's what answers your question, or there's an upper ontology that does the linking. I think this is an argument that we have internally and that exists in this community.
So the BEA core would be an ontology in itself?
Yes.
I see. But BPMN2 ontology, by that do you mean those aspects of process modeling notations that conform to an ontology, or is it applied to DODEF as an ontology?
On the one slide where I mentioned the other DODEF products, BPMN2 is what we call an OD6C. It's officially it's an event trace diagram, but that didn't help us in the business space. So we call this a business process model, and we use BPMN. So that ontology is the first one that we use because that informs the other ontologies that we have to have. The collection of them, that Venn diagram, the intersection of all of these ontologies becomes the BEA core.
But I would expect the BPMN2 capabilities of the specification, at least, to address core, H2R, P2P, and DM2, all of them.
Yes, in terms of the end-to-end business process model, that's correct.
Yeah.
But the architectures that we build are more than the process model. It includes the rules, and the rules could be defined in English with SBVR. There'll be different rule sets that are connected together with RIF. This is our current thought process. And those rules are in the DODAF, are in another thing, product called the OV6A. So there's a rules ontology. The OV6A, the OV6C, all the other DODAF views become the BEA core.
I see. Well, yes. Another way to understand in industry, for those who are also familiar with Zachman model or FIEF, is also to see that the BPMN largely addresses the upper part of business architecture and business processes, and the system and infrastructure parts are addressed by other standards. So is that what you are doing, is grabbing those other parts from like DM2 or IDRs? And then,
yes,
and integrating them together.
Yes, one of the things that we've discovered, and you mentioned ideas, is that this approach that we're taking forces us to make decisions because we are planning on executing these ontologies for business intelligence purposes now, and who knows, in the distant future for transaction purposes, it forces us to make decisions that oftentimes the standards committees don't like to make. We have to make them.
Yes, yes. You are a implementation-centric yes. application space. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank
okay.
you. Very kind Good. Of you.
Bob Foss, have your hand raised?
Yeah, hi. This is another question for you, Dennis, about what it means to map the BPMN into RDF. I'm confused if what you're saying are data entities that are referenced that have to do with, you know, concepts, data concepts used by the DOD, if those are in the triple store, or if you mean the status of an executing process is going to be held in some triple store. So you can monitor the running of that process even if you translated the BPMN into something like Sparkle Motion in order to let some runtime execute it.
Yes.
So do you actually mean that second sense?
It's an and rather than an or.
You do both.
Yes.
So could you say a few words about the translation from BPMN into Sparkle Motion? Do you think that's something that can be done completely by software? Is it done by software guided by a developer? Is it sort of manually done by a developer? What are you doing now, and what do you think you'll be able to do, like, in a year's time?
I'll be glad when it's 2:30. Right now we've done this automatically without a developer, and that's what our use cases are for. That's our ultimate goal, and we've done it without a developer. In other words, there's no code writer. Now, how far this can go? We are definitely crawl, walk, run, and so we keep expanding our family of use cases and expanding our knowledge to see what's going to happen.
Okay, great. Thank you. Very interesting.
I'll take more questions. Kidding about the 2:30 thing.
David, Eddie?
A question about, to me, the word federation I like because it, to me, means the inclusion of legacy systems. I also read this as I have been told by persons unnamed that legacy systems are not part of the interest of the greater OWL, RDF, et cetera, et cetera. Is this a change, or is our, you know, are legacy systems now of interest? That's my question.
Well, I'll answer for our users yeah. that if you think you can ignore legacy systems, you might as well find a hole and crawl into it.
Well, that's certainly my attitude.
maybe I answer there. This is Anatoly Levinchuk. Yes, when we speak about integration, you can choose part according to some kind of architecture and drawing, and separately implement this part, and then have assembly process. And you can speak about specifically producing this part anew. But when we speak about federation, usually you have no control what you will federate. You will see only interfaces. And if your interface is RDF, all the legacy should be RDF. But this is not the case. And we need a technology that permit to federate all the legacy, because today contemporary system, including RDF, this is legacy, this will be legacy in 2 years, maybe. And when you have federation, the main question is in legacy. This is not even, is it possible or not in interest. The main question is integrate legacy systems, because in engineering systems you have in factory design bureau and many places only legacy systems. And these federation systems, this is the single new thing.
Excellent. Thank you.
Tony, I have one question for Mr. Lemonchuk.
Yeah, sure.
Mr. Lemonchuk, you mean when you think of federation in this ontology, our discussion space, do you mean other than organizational federation? Do you mean languages federation? Do you mean logic federation, systems federation? I generally think of federation as autonomous entities trying to cooperate with each other. Is your definition obviously is broader than this, but please explain.
Yes, my definition, this is system federation. And if you have social technical systems, you have system federation. Sure, you need federate data somewhere in the bottom. But you should federate many other things.
Right, you're going to have both. There'll be architecture federation at the top of this as for the thought process. Ultimately, we want interoperability at runtime. That's another way of doing federation. If you can't do that, I would argue that federation is really not real.
Yes. And in the financial world, they often do a rehearsal and set the contract so that can be executed at execution stage.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also in manufacturing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I said that there is different worlds. For example, in engineering enterprise, you have financial worlds, very close, and you have engineering world, and very close too, and you should federate this world. For example, in procurement, and this is not easy. And when I speak about federation, this is asynchronous evolution process, but you should have some kind of architecture that is not prescribed structure, but prescribed some kind of organization. And this is some kind of different type of federation, different type from integration, because integration, this is usual systems engineering process, but not systems of systems engineering process. And we have a queue of three other questioners.
Yes. Peter?
Yes, I just want to make a quick remark to set the record correctly in response to David Eddy's comment that people in the community are ignoring legacy systems. That's not us. And of course, he did mention OWL and RDF, and that also is not us. Of course, we have a lot of overlap with the OWL, RDF, Semantic Web type community, but the ontology community and those who are collaborating in this current summit, I mean, namely the ontology community as well as the systems community and stakeholders. I think among all of us, legacy system is extremely important, and Corey just now characterized it fairly well. I mean, on Ontolog, I'm sure you have seen us feature points of views from people from John Sower to Matthew West to Chris Partridge, I mean, who works on legacy system as a living. So again, legacy system is important and we definitely aren't ignoring it. That's it. Back to Corey.
Thanks, Peter. Leo has a hand up. Coffee.
Oh, we still can't hear Leo. But earlier, while Dennis was answering a question, Bobbin D. Garden typed on the chat asking, Dennis, is there a map in the lodge to where in DoDev and all the parts fit? And if there's such a map, can you share it?
There is such a map being built, and when it's built, I will be able to share it, but not right now.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Back to Leo. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, folks. My phone died on me. Dennis, this is a question I entered in the chat room. We've had a lot of discussion recently on the Ontolog forum about switchovers. So in other words, if you're developing a semantic web or ontology-based system that's going to replace your existing system or systems, in the case of multiple systems, what are your plans? In other words, prior to switchover, do you run them in parallel? Do you do performance studies on the new one to ensure that the performance is, you know, adequate? You have to roll out training and so forth, but I just wondered about your thoughts on that.
Right. I have three answers. I'm not being flippant. One is we're really not talking about transactional-based systems at the moment, so there's really nothing to replace at our level. We're talking about business intelligence and going to the authoritative sources based upon the business process model, executing the business process model. That's one answer. Secondly, the legacy systems, they exist there. I certainly would not deny their existence, and so there's a mapping ontology that enables us to get to the authoritative sources through these legacy systems, or at least make sure that we know the provenance of the data that the legacy system has the right to to interface with. That's the second answer. The third one is that when these legacy systems are replaced, we don't see them being replaced as a system. For example, defense travel system that has right now about 80% of the 3.4 million people in the DOD, it is really 21 services, only a small number of which are really have to do with travel. One of them is personnel. It duplicates a personnel database. So as those kinds of, and I'm not saying this is going to happen this way because I don't run that group that does this, but we expect that as, over time, as we orchestrate services within the evolving DoD cloud, which is, we've gone on record as going in that direction because the government says we have to, we will be looking at those giant systems and devolving them into services. And as that happens, then the data that those services get, we would expect to be based upon the ontology that says where the data is. And we'll have to go through the normal kind of software engineering testing that you also described.
Okay, thank you.
So I have a question for my co-presenters, although I think Tommy is having to leave, or a general question. In terms of how much, one of the fears I get from people as we talk about this is they read these approaches as requiring an uber ontology that binds them all, that's going to be huge trying to be everything to everybody. To what degree do we need things in common? How huge is it? And how do we avoid this the fact or perception of a monolith?
I try to tell. This is Anatoly Levenchuk. The ISO 15926 ontology that was developed after several of engineering projects have about 50,000 of terms. And in triples, it will be about 2.7 million triples. And this is about 1 minute of load into notebook. And this was a Statoil project, a very huge project. And when we speak about engineering ontologies, this is mainly formal systems. And this is not very huge from that ontology that we have from medicine or other fields. And when we speak about all the industries, we will have very huge ontology. And we have a million of details, million of drawings, a million 3D representations, and this is very huge. But this is never exist in one place, because you should have dynamically fetch your ontology overlay. And this is more about ontology administration and ontology granularity, and not to the future of all the ontology and all the computers and all the domains that we have in Federation. This is never work simultaneously. This is Federation at last. Thanks.
Yes, we would totally agree with you, and I have to hang up now.
Right, a lot of people are having to leave, so I suggest that if there's any closing statements anyone wants to make, that we do so, but that we start to close down. So is there any closing thoughts for us?
Thank you all.
Yep. Okay, I guess that's it. And just an announcement, same time next Thursday, we're going to have the another session from the track on big system domain applications. So join us next week. So back to Corey to thank the speakers and everyone.
Yes, thank you very much to our speakers and to all of you who contributed on the chat and with questions. I think it was a good session, and I hope that we're able to continue some of these discussions on the email list.
Yeah, and Polly? We will prepare a track synthesis page in a wiki after a while and work with this, all these remarks. Thank you for remarks and the questions. And thank you, presenters. It was a very good work. I was admired of it. It's very good. Thank you.
So that's it. Bye, everyone.